We're going to read from Revelation chapter 12 a little bit here, and then we'll fill in the blanks here, and then I'll give you a couple other things to do between now and next Wednesday. It'll be a little different, kind of switch it up a little bit. But Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out, cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of the God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So what we're going to do is we're going to break this up into 2 parts. First 6 verses this week, and we'll do the next 6 next week. But the rest of them. I want to go ahead and look at filling in these blanks, and then we'll give you a few things to do at home there and check out some things. Yeah, you can go ahead and fill it in now this time. So the woman in verses 1 and 2 is Israel. Who is the woman? She's Israel. Let's read this again. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So that's Israel. And we know later on down here, it starts talking about Israel again, and it starts talking about the dragon attacking Israel. So we know we're dealing with Israel. So this woman, she was clothed with the sun, the what was under her feet, and she has a crown of 12 stars upon her head. Now this is significant because in Malachi it calls Jesus Christ the capital S-U-N of righteousness. So he's the sun. Now, what is he, if she's clothed with the sun, that's a representative of something. his covering is the only reason they can make it, just like us. I mean, it's a little bit different because they're talking about a physical kingdom. We're talking about salvation eternally, spiritually. But we have his robe of righteousness. So that her being covered with the S-U-N is a picture of Jesus Christ paying their sin debt. And then when you look at the moon under her feet, that's a picture of her authority. And see, that's what the world's all upset about now. That's what they're fighting over, and that's why most of the world hates Israel, and they hate the Jews, and they even the Catholic popes have said that that land over there belongs to the Arabs, and Jerusalem should belong to the Muslims, basically, which is ridiculous. They said that over the years. But the battle is because, remember in Matthew, we're reading the meek shall inherit the earth. Remember, that's before Calvary. He's talking to Israel. It's Jesus Christ talking to Israel. And that's Israel's getting the earth. They're getting an earthly kingdom, which was promised to Abraham. And see, that's another reason a lot of people want to say they replace Israel, because they have an authority problem, and they want to reject the truth of God, and they want to think that they're better than Israel. Well, the truth is, God chose Israel, not because they were good, but because he's good. He let them defeat their enemies a lot of times because their enemies were just worse than they were. They weren't necessarily good. Their enemies were just worse than they were. But God has chosen them as a chosen people, give them eternal promise of an eternal kingdom, a literal physical kingdom, and they will get that kingdom. Well, remember who wanted the kingdom? The devil wanted to ascend the sides of the north. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to take Jesus Christ's throne. Jesus Christ coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years over Israel, over this world. But he's going to be Israel's king. So that battle, the reason they hate the Jews is because it's related to that moon under her feet, that authority that God's given them. So Jesus Christ is a covering for anybody that's righteous. It's his righteousness, it's his covering. That moon's authority. And the 12 stars represent, in the third question here, they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice where they're at, they're on her head. So those that crown on her head, the 12 tribes of Israel, those are the heads of Israel under Jacob. Remember, Jacob was called Israel. He had 12 children, 12 tribes. And you get over to Revelation, there's still 12 tribes. A couple of them are renamed different tribes, but there's still 12 tribes. God maintained 12 tribes there. So in verse number 3, question number 4, the great dragon in verse 3 is that's the devil. The devil. Let's see here. Write a couple of things down. The third part of the stars cast to the earth are fallen angels. How do we know that? We go down to verse number. Well, 7 through 10 or so, where it talks about the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, and then they were cast out. So when it says he takes those fallen angels with him when he's cast out. So what's that mean? That means they chose to follow the devil instead of be right with God. That's what the world's doing. For the most part, the world's following the devil instead of following God. So the man-child, question number 6, the man-child in verse 5 is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Ruled with a rod of iron, yep. In verse 6, the woman flees into the wilderness where God cares for her for 1,260 days. This period of time is the last half of Daniel's 70th week. This time is also known as the time of somebody's trouble, Jacob's troubles, and great tribulation, according to Jesus Christ. Great tribulation. Can anybody name one way Question number 8, that God cared for Israel while they were in the wilderness in the Old Testament. Yeah. Manna from heaven. Anybody think of anything else? Manna from heaven, and they needed water. They got water from the rock. Remember Moses smote the rock and it gave forth water? There's another thing that he did. They had water at Marah, but water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. So what did they put in the water to make it sweet? It was a tree. A specific tree which represents the cross. Well, it was just a tree. It doesn't say which one, but that it said they put that tree in the water and it made turn the water from bitter to sweet. And that tree represents the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's a foreshadowing of that. Could be. But it just says tree, and that tree is a representative. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. In Galatians 3:13, excuse me. Also, not in the wilderness directly as a group with Israel, but he took care of Elijah. What did he do with Elijah? Elijah said, shut up the heavens so it wouldn't rain. And how did he take care of Elijah? Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. You remember how he got the bread and the flesh? The ravens. Had the ravens deliver them to him. And it's funny because doves are a type of the Holy Spirit and ravens are really a type of the unholy spirit, which was kind of a picture of God using the world to take care of his people. But he used ravens to take care of Elijah. So I want to land on this verse for a few minutes here, back at verses 1 and 2. I want to land on that for a few minutes and talk about it. You see why I wanted to split this at least in half? We got a lot to talk about just in 6 verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. We know it's Israel, we know it represents Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah 66. I'll show you something really interesting. Isaiah 66. Now remember, Isaiah is 66 chapters, which represent the 66 books of the Bible. So when you're looking at Isaiah chapter 66, you're going to be looking at something that matches up really close with the end of the Bible, which would be Revelation. Well, this is interesting. Remember it says the woman is in travail to give birth. In Isaiah 66, let's start at verse 7. But she, talking about Israel, but she travailed, she brought forth. Now listen to this. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Isn't that something? Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? All right, when you're looking at, remember, you're looking at Isaiah 66, you're looking at something that's going to match up with Revelation. So those verses in Revelation have a twofold meaning. It's talking about the original birth of Jesus Christ, right? Does anybody remember what was going on with Israel when Jesus Christ came? They were in bondage to Rome. Rome was ruling the world. They were in bondage. Remember when God delivered them out of Egypt? They were in bondage. They were travailing. And then God delivered them out of Egypt. They continually were in bondage, and Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. But they rejected their Messiah. They rejected him. So she travailed in birth, gave forth to the man-child, and then the devil went to attack the man-child. Remember when Herod was trying to kill all the babies? There's the devil trying to get rid of Jesus Christ. So she travailed in birth, but there's another meaning here, because when you're looking at Revelation, you can look at that past tense and say, yeah, she gave forth the birth of Jesus Christ. But now in the last days, Israel's in travail again. What's going to happen? There's going to be a rebirth of Israel. So that wasn't what happened in 48 or whatever, or 46, 46, whatever they got their land back. That's what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. Remember there's a new everything. A rebirth of Israel is a regenerated earth. Jesus Christ rules and reigns on a regenerated earth with the ox and the lamb and the lion. They all lay down together. The lion eats straw like an ox, where it's regenerated and turned back into like the Garden of Eden. So when you're looking at that verse about travail, remember in Isaiah again. Should have left it over there. In Isaiah again, it says, before she travailed, she brought forth. So she gave birth to a son before the travail that he's talking about here. Israel, as a nation, was in travail and bondage over and over and over again before Jesus was born. When she rejected Jesus Christ as her Messiah, Israel as a nation, and when they were standing there at the crucifixion saying, his blood be upon our children, upon our heads, upon our children, upon our children's children, they're headed for another travail. So it's talking about a travail that happens after the birth of Jesus Christ, which is the end of the tribulation time. It's a great tribulation time. Does that make sense? Isaiah 66:7 talks about her being in travail after the birth. She was in travail for the birth before. Because she rejected the Messiah, she's going to be in travail again. You know, the earth travails. The earth it mourns, and it's looking for a regeneration. Everything's a sin curse, and it's looking for a regeneration. But Israel, as a nation, is in travail. Look what's going over there right now. And they're just getting started. They haven't seen anything yet. And we've got a pretty good idea what's going to happen, but we're getting out of here. And I'm ready to go. Get out of here and let them do their thing, and God just straighten this mess out about 7 years down the road. Amen. When you're reading that about travail, it's talking about two different travails. She travailed and gave birth. They rejected the king, the Messiah, and now they're in travail again because of that. And at the end of that travail, they're going to be reborn because of Jesus Christ. See that double-fold prophecy? She was in travail to give birth. Now she's in travail to be born. And it's going to get worse. The pains are getting closer together. That's how we know we're getting out of here. Israel's birth pains are getting closer together. This world's birth pains are getting closer together. People say, well, you know, things just seem worse because of the internet. No, they're getting worse. They are getting worse. It's not just because the internet's probably helping it get worse, but it's not the only reason it looks like it's worse. It's actually getting worse. And the worse it gets, the closer, it's one day closer to the Lord calling us out of here. So it talks about her travailing to give birth in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Remember, Jesus Christ came to be king over Israel. And since they rejected him the first time, he's the Savior of the world. He came to be a king over a physical Jewish kingdom. And since they rejected their Jewish king, and they were turning from him, and the Gentiles were turning to him, he turned to be the Savior of the world until the end of the church age. So he didn't come to save the world. He came to be king over Israel. But God knows everything. He already had it figured out. The devil's like, I'll stop this. And he's going, I'll make it even worse for you, devil. I'm going to save people that just trust me as Lord and Savior, and I'm going to come back and rule and reign anyway. All right? So he came to be the king of Israel. He was rejected. Now he's the Savior of the world. He came to be the king over a physical kingdom. If you get saved today, you're part of He came to be king of a physical kingdom. If you're saved today, you're part of a spiritual kingdom. You're born into the family of God in the spirit, in a spiritual kingdom called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's a spiritual kingdom. God is the spirit, right? And you're placed in God at salvation. So you're in a spiritual kingdom, kingdom of God. That's kind of why a lot of people get messed up on the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and they think that we're bringing in some kind of a kingdom now. Well, the kingdom of God is growing when people get saved, but the kingdom of heaven is actually going to be on this earth, and we're not setting it up. We're setting everything up against it as mankind, you know, looking at mankind. The mankind's setting it up for the Antichrist kingdom, but the Lord's going to take that from him. So here, jump down to well, let's go down to verse 6. Well, not verse 6, number 6. Sorry, number 6 on your paper in Revelation. So the man-child in verse 5 is Jesus Christ. Right down into that verse, Isaiah 9. Verses 6 and 7. And Luke chapter 2. And then just read beside those. Read those things before next week and compare them to that verse 5 and see what I'm talking about. And then down verse 8. Or, sorry, number 8. I want you to, in Exodus, I'm not going to tell you the chapters. You can look for it, amen. In Exodus, it talks about when God made the water sweet, the bitter water, Marah. And it talks about the water from the rock, and it talks about the manna from heaven and quail. Remember the quail? God sent quail down. So there's a couple different chapters therein. There's about a three-chapter area there where you'll find all those things. Just Exodus. I'm not going to give you the rest. You got to hunt for it. Or cheat off your wife after she does all the work. Oh, you're going to cheat off somebody. Yeah. So, Charlie, you're the only one doing any work. Everybody's cheating off you. So, in the book of Exodus, you're going to find three chapters in a row that talk about the bitter water, Marah, being turned sweet, talks about the water coming from the rock, talks about manna from heaven. And in 1 Kings, you're going to find where it talks about Elijah being fed by the ravens in 1 Kings. That's all you got to do. Just read Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, Luke chapter 2, till you get the gist of what we're talking about with Jesus Christ's birth, and then find those three things, bitter water turned sweet, water from the rock, manna from heaven in Exodus, and Elijah being fed by the ravens in 1 Kings. Just write down the chapter and verses where you find it. Like I say, we've got a lot to cover in 12, so I wanted to break this up because good night. We'd been here all night looking at the rest of those verses. Anybody have any questions?